It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we learn about a program addressing the sexual side effects of cancer treatment on women's health. A recent review of the research suggests over 60% of women with cancer experience sexual dysfunction, but sexual health may be overlooked or deprioritized in fighting the disease. Call in with your questions, your thoughts, any point here, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Janelle Sobecki is Medical Director of the Women's Integrative Sexual Health Program and Assistant Professor of Gynecologic Oncology at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Sobecki, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. So why should women be concerned about their sexual health during and after cancer treatment?
Absolutely. Well, you know, for everyone, patients and, you know, the general population, both, sexual health is important to everyone, right? Sexual health may look different for every individual, but it's something that affects nearly everyone and is such an important part of a woman's quality of life. You know, we also know that cancer treatment, like you mentioned, can affect, you know, anywhere up to, you know, we think 75%, you know, in the work I do, even 100% of women who have had cancer and have gone through cancer treatment. So this is a really, really common side effect that is incredibly important to not only a woman's quality of life, but, you know, her relationship if she's in one, as well as her partner's quality of life and her partner's sexual health and life as well.
How do chemotherapy and radiation, you know, which are common cancer-fighting treatments, how might they affect sexual health?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we know for women, about two-thirds of cancers directly affect a woman's sexual organ. So these are cancers of the breast, cancers of the reproductive system, gynecologic cancers, you know, that includes cancers of the vulva, vagina, uterus, cervix, ovary. And so, you know, about two-thirds of women with cancer, their cancer and their cancer treatment directly affects the sexual organ. You know, for the remainder of women with cancer, we also know that women with cancers that do not affect a sexual organ also have sexual health concerns. That can be women with, you know, colorectal or bladder cancers. I call those sexual organ adjacent. So treatments to those areas can have an impact to the sexual organs themselves. We also know women with other cancers like head and neck cancers, lung cancers, also experience sexual problems as a result of their treatment. Pretty much every cancer treatment can affect sexual health in one way or another. You know, surgery is a really obvious area where, if, you know, a woman has surgery to a sexual organ, that's obviously going to have side effects. Radiation therapy can certainly cause side effects, you know, to the surrounding skin, the structures. And chemotherapy, you know, I have patients who are in chemotherapy who describe a skin sensitivity, fatigue, you know, things that we don't directly think will impact sexual health, but absolutely do.
I'm going to just reintroduce you here for just a moment. Dr. Janelle Sobecki, talking about sexual health in women during and after cancer treatment. She's medical director of the Women's Integrative Sexual Health Program at UW Health. You can join in the conversation about sexual side effects of cancer, 800-642-1234. Dr. Sobecki, one other aspect here, you know, in addition to chemotherapy and radiation, are hormonal medications that are prescribed to cancer patients. What are those types of side effects in relation to sexual health?
Absolutely. So hormonal therapies typically cause a loss of estrogen. And what that loss of estrogen does for women is it can result in vaginal dryness, sometimes vaginal atrophy, which is where the tissues of the vagina change in a way that makes sexual function more painful, makes the intercourse more painful. You know, hormonal therapies can also cause other side effects, especially for women who are premenopausal. So that can include hot flashes, trouble with sleep. And all of these things together can create side effects that prohibit women from being able to enjoy a good sexual life.
How should patients, though, balance that cancer treatment, you know, versus the risk of sexual health problems down the line? I mean, that's a really tricky conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, that's a growing area that we are exploring to try to figure out how best to do that. You know, I think in cancer treatment and surgery, we talk so much with patients about risks, right? Risks of surgery, risks of treatment, risks of chemo. And, you know, I consider sexual health and risks to sexual health and sexual problems a part of that conversation. You know, we know cancer treatments are not side effect free. In fact, the opposite, they cause quite a few side effects. But sexual health is an important one that should be part of the discussion along with all of the other side effects that we commonly speak with patients about.
We have gynecologic oncologist Janelle Sadecki raising awareness about sexual health in women cancer survivors. You can voice your questions, share your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Researchers, they find sexual side effects of cancer treatment are discussed much less frequently with female patients than with male patients, even when the treatment directly affects sex organs. Call in with questions, your experiences fighting cancer, and sexual issues you've encountered. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Dr. Janelle Sobecki, who is Medical Director of the Women's Integrative Sexual Health Program at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Sobecki, I want to just touch down on the oncology community here for a moment because, you know, talking about sexual health has not been something that has been seems like a pressing concern. It's kind of been backburnered in the past. What is happening now among oncologists?
Yeah, I think, you know, the past, I would say 5 to 10 years has really shown growth in the awareness of this issue and awareness of sexual health as an important quality of life component to female cancer care. You know, there are very talented people across the country in various centers who are really advocating for this area, generating good research evidence for how best to care for this important issue. And I think, you know, it's gained a lot of traction. It certainly is not where we or our patients wish it was. But I think there are a lot of talented people really trying to improve this important area for women.
Let's bring on a call now. Kevin in Janesville. Hi, Kevin. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. What about the mental health aspects of a woman's sexual health post-cancer treatment, perhaps losing a breast to a mastectomy? Does this affect her mental image of who she is as a woman? So what are we doing about the mental health corner? Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin, for bringing this up. You know, I think this area is incredibly important. You know, we know sexual health is not just our bodies, right? It's bio, it's psycho, it's social, you know, and those emotional and, you know, psychological or relational components to sexual health are incredibly important. It is also very common for us to see women who have undergone treatments have issues related to their body image and self-image as a, you know, a sexual person. We see this most commonly with women with breast cancer who may have, you know, removal of the breasts or surgery to the breasts. And if that breast, you know, if their breasts were a sexual organ, they now, you know, don't have one, or they have a breast that is reconstructed. And I hear from patients that, you know, the reconstructed breast looks good under a top, but doesn't function the same. And her partner, you know, may have issues related to needing to avoid that breast, you know, during sexual activity because it brings up, you know, negative feelings regarding cancer treatment. We work closely with some of our behavioral therapists at UW and, you know, across the state so that, you know, issues that are pertaining to mental health and how that affects, you know, sexual health for, you know, women and their partners can be addressed alongside the other work that we do, you know, with some of the physical changes.
You also had surveyed women with colorectal cancer reporting lack of confidence or fear of incontinence during sex. What is your advice to women, cancer survivors, who feel unconfident in their body after treatment?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first is kind of a restructuring of, you know, how they feel and what they want their sexual life to look like. You know, when they're partnered, we recommend, you know, there are different activities that, you know, partners and patients can go through where they talk about areas that they do and don't want touched in a sexual encounter so that in the middle of a sexual encounter, there isn't, you know, an uncomfortable, you know, viewing or touching of an affected body part, which can be really helpful. You know, we also refer patients, you know, who need more talk therapy about that. And I think communication is key in recognizing that, you know, these women are not alone. You know, I do this work every day. And, you know, this is a community of people who we know this is so common and adjustments have to be made. But, it oftentimes it's deeper than that, right? The body and body image brings up a lot of negative feelings about cancer and fear of what the future may look like. And so, you know, like many things, it's complicated, but there's a lot of resources and a lot of ways that that can be overcome.
Your program refers some patients for pelvic floor physical therapy. What does that entail?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that the pelvic floor, which is the, you know, sort of bowl of muscles in the pelvis, is really integral to many functions, but sexual function in particular. And so pelvic floor physical therapy can be incredibly helpful in helping women who have pain with intercourse, who have, you know, kind of in the tightness of that pelvic floor or trigger point pain of the pelvic floor. And it really works on helping that pelvic floor function normally, whether that's, you know, contracting better, relaxing better, and that can include external and internal, you know, manual manipulation. It's a very talented group of people and a really important piece of helping women with certain sexual problems.
How successful is it? How effective?
Yeah, so, you know, we have limited data, but the data that we have from patients in our own clinic who we have sent, you know, nearly all of them report that that intervention is helpful. You know, so we certainly have more to learn about how effective, but, you know, for our patients who have seen us in Wish Clinic and been referred, they do report that that was helpful.
Turning to sex therapy, in your survey of patients who participated in the Women's Integrative Sexual Health Program, few were referred to sex therapy. Why is that?
Yeah, referral to sex therapy and any of the other referrals that we do is really individualized based on, you know, the woman, if she has a partner, and the goals. And so, you know, any woman who is struggling with, you know, body image, mental health, a woman and a partner who are struggling about communication about sexual health or the changes that have happened after cancer, those are patients that we often refer. You know, so we take an integrative approach and, you know, refer patients to sex therapy when it's appropriate for the problem that they come to us with. And if we feel like that's a helpful component.
What about reproductive health and the potential after that cancer not being able to have a baby?
Yeah, absolutely. So that in particular is not my area of expertise, though many women where fertility is an issue. And so, you know, the most important part there is knowing a woman's goals, you know, discussing fertility sparing options if they are possible, depending on the type of cancer, and, you know, looping in our really talented partners at the Generations Fertility Center, you know, and taking a really multidisciplinary approach to, you know, maintaining fertility if it's possible, and having really thoughtful conversations with women about what those side effects might look like.
I wonder, Dr. Sebeki, like, this can be a sensitive subject for patients. And how do you recommend having the talk with your oncologist and not make it feel like you're downgrading the focus of the mission, which is to, you know, eradicate the cancer, and that would be the pure focus. How do you make this type of talk, you know, elevated and not make it feel like it's not important to what our mission is here, which is to cure this cancer?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, side effects are an integral component of every step of cancer care. So that, you know, side effects are discussed, they're monitored. We, you know, support women with therapies for side effects, and sexual side effects shouldn't be any different. You know, we know from, you know, providers and patients, it's uncomfortable on both sides. I think my best advice, and hopefully this program has helped, is that these issues are so common. Nearly every woman with a cancer has had some impact to their sexual life. And so arming yourself with that confidence to say this is really important and it's happening to nearly everybody. You know, the other really important piece of knowledge is that nearly every cancer organization recognizes sexual health as an important component of cancer care. So there is a lot out there about this issue, but there's a disconnect in the office sometimes. And with anything else, I think timing is everything, right? So if you're someone who wants to discuss this, you know, use the opportunity at the beginning of the visit to say, you know, whether that's an intake form or when you're getting your vitals checked, you know, say, I have some concerns related to my sexual health that I'd really like to talk about today. That sets the visit up for time to address that well, you know, rather than, you know, kind of everything's wrapping up and we call it the doorknob question, you know, we're ready to go and, oh, wait a second, I have this question. you know, and that's hard, right? That's hard for patients getting to their next thing. It's hard for the, you know, physician or medical provider. So I think timing and recognition that, you know, this side effect is just as important as surgical side effects and chemo side effects and radiation side effects, which we talk about and treat every day in cancer care. So there's no reason we can't do the same for sexual health.
Dr. Janelle Sobecki, Medical Director of the Women's Integrative Sexual Health Program with us, an Assistant Professor of Gynecologic Oncology at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Still time to talk about sexual side effects and cancer, 800-642-1234. Dr. Sobecki, what sexual side effects of cancer are permanent for women?
I'd like to think none in the work that I do, but we know that unfortunately is not the case. You know, I think one of the biggest things we see is women who have either had their ovaries taken out or have had medications that cause a loss of estrogen, you know, that does permanently change the tissues of the vagina. And so we know those tissues will never be what they were when estrogen was present. And that can cause, you know, vaginal dryness, which can cause pain with intercourse. And those changes oftentimes are permanent. You know, certainly surgery, removal of sexual organs or, you know, a change to the sexual organs from, you know, radiation treatment, those things are permanent changes. Not to say that we don't have interventions to improve things, but many cancer treatments do cause permanent changes to somebody's body and sexual organs.
What needs to be further studied and examined in the sexual health of cancer patients?
I'm going to say everything. there have been so many talented people working on this. I think that, you know, we've highlighted one area, which is communication, you know, which seems like it should be simpler, right? We have done work and research that shows that women want their cancer team to bring this up. So we hear that certainly a lot. And, you know, we hear from providers, it's hard to talk about. And I think medical teams want to help, right? That's inherent in medicine and cancer care. But I don't know that everybody feels equipped to ask, because if a patient brings up an issue, they may not be sure what to do next and how to help them best. And so I think communication and, you know, recognition of resources is really an incredibly important step, because nobody knows there's a problem if nobody's talking about it. And I think that's an area that could easily improve.
Dr. Sobecki, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Janelle Sobecki is medical director of the Women's Integrative Sexual Health Program and an assistant professor of gynecologic oncology at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. We have a link to the survey published in the journal Supportive Care in Cancer. You can find that link at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.